Time now for our semi-regular international segment. Last week we talked to BFM reporter Conanel, who is in Northern Ireland. We were talking about the whole situation there because honestly I feel like it doesn't make the news as much in New Zealand as it is in other parts of the world, but there's been a lot going on there. So if you missed last week, that's up on the website as a podcast. This week though, we are talking about the impact that Brexit has been having on the region. Have a listen.
What I was going to kind of talk to you about is kind of an ongoing thing that's been happening pretty much since the Brexit referendum. I just kind of wanted to talk about how Brexit is going to affect this island and what the impact on this island is going to be. So I don't think, like, historically, it shouldn't be lost on anyone hearing this that there's historically been a lot of ignorance about what goes on this island from the rest of the United Kingdom, from England especially. And that really has come to the fore again around Brexit. So we've had a bit of a issue with the Irish border. So if I start from the Good Friday Agreement, before the Good Friday Agreement, there was heaps of infrastructure like you would expect from any international border around the world. You had one of the most dangerous and one of the most secured borders in Western Europe at the time. You had basically, if you can imagine the drive from Belfast to Dublin, was essentially about the same distance as the drive from Auckland to Hamilton. But what you had on the way is you had a single carriageway road, one of the most bombed roads in Western Europe. You had IEDs as being a risk. You had army helicopters flying over by. You'd have to show your passport. There were attacks pretty much almost every month at the very least. And the Good Friday Agreement essentially put an end to that, whereby we had a free movement across that border. We had roads were open between local communities, so it could cross county lines and cross the border. It meant that there was free travel going up and down between Northern Ireland and Ireland. Now, Brexit has put that into jeopardy now. You've got to understand that in Northern Ireland, the peace process is a very delicate thing. It is a process, and it is a generational thing. So this is something that should have been going on way past my lifetime, past your lifetime, past the lifetimes of most people listening, on to the next generation, for them to inherit and for them to bring peace to this island. And Brexit is throwing a spanner in the works. So essentially,
why is it so damaging? Because I keep seeing all these articles about the Irish question being at the forefront of Brexit negotiations, and I feel like a lot of people in New Zealand probably don't understand why it's going to be so so damaging.
Well, the reason why it's so damaging is simply just because of the history of this island. I mean, there's a profound political disagreement that's been going on for about 100 years. You've got one side, the majority still in Northern Ireland, the majority are still in favour of staying with the United Kingdom. The South is still in favour of obviously having their own country and remaining in the European Union with that country. So there's an irreconcilable difference there. And in the wake of that border poll, within Northern Ireland at least, the way politics has gone through this is there's a non-functioning government there, which is trying to get sorted, but it's been a non-functioning government through the rest of this process. You've got the DUP who are in coalition with the Tories at the moment, and they are so that puts an issue in there with Northern Irish politics, because you've got unionists in Westminster where Stormont isn't working, so it gives unionists more of an edge. Sinn Féin refused to take their seats, so nationalists don't have a voice in what goes on in Westminster, because Sinn Féin have historically refused to take their seats. And you've also had the Sinn Féin, ever since the border poll, have been ever since the Brexit vote, sorry, have been holding border polls around in nationalist areas, and they've been holding endless ones. The Irish government, Leo Varadkar especially, made a statement where he said that this is not the right time for Irish unity or any talk of a border poll whatsoever. And he's 100% right on that, because with the state of Northern Ireland at the moment, it will be, honestly, with any peaceful solution to reunification, it will be at least another 50 years for that, because with the state of Northern Irish politics at the moment, as far as I can see. It's all thrown a spanner in the works, really, because in 1998, we're all people like me, born in 1995, who in Northern Ireland are cast as ceasefire babies because we were, you know, only just born, or we were babies when the Good Friday Agreement came in. We were promised this long road peace, and that's had a bit of a barrier put in the way.
I understand that it's obviously a political problem, but what are the attitudes of just the people that you must be meeting while you're over there, or just people in general? Is there this much animosity from the general public?
I think there is, to be honest. I mean, like with any attitude, like with any major political issue, there's always a unionist side and a nationalist side in Northern Ireland. And the unionist side has always been the extreme unionist side has been to stay with the UK no matter what. Now, obviously, there's been kind of hypocrisy within that, because they haven't stuck with the UK when it comes to gay marriage. They haven't stuck with the UK when it comes to abortion. They've actually made a clear point of being away from the UK, and they haven't stuck with the UK on Irish language bills or bilingualism or anything like that, which is why none of the signs in Northern Ireland are in Irish, as well as English. So that's the unionist position, is to stay with the United Kingdom and go through this, and whatever happens, happens, as long as we're with the United Kingdom. The nationalist perspective has been, well, a lot of nationalists voted to leave the European Union because they saw it as a way to kind of, it was almost like sort of that political kind of disruption, sort of throwing a spanner in the works there to Westminster, kind of messing up and infiltrating the political process and agitating, so that it was a bit closer towards the United Ireland. So you've got it's all being framed within this kind of this dichotomy there, with very little care given to sort of day-to-day issues of actually running the place, you know, the day-to-day bread and butter politics that we all expect from our politicians. And what that's meant is that, like I said last interview, in the local elections, people have been sick of it, and that's why the Alliance Party in Northern Ireland, the non-sectarian party, and the Greens made huge gains, because they saw the backlash from people who don't want Brexit, for the most part, as was evidenced by the vote, and who are actually, to be honest, quite scared of the reality that this could drive paramilitarism back onto the streets.
Right.
No one wants that.
What about for tourism? I mean, is this going to make it harder for people to go across the border into other European countries for that particular purpose, or are the general public going to be able to get along with their lives for the most part?
Well, I mean, the great thing about the bilateral talks that went on between the British government and the Irish government was that they guaranteed that Irish citizens, those people in Northern Ireland who are nationalists and who choose to be Irish citizens, who refuse British citizenship, are guaranteed the same rights as with welfare and education and et cetera, as they would have in the Republic of Ireland. So that is guaranteed. That should, by extension, be an indicator to say that there will be no hard border on this island. No one wants a hard border. The British government don't want it. The Irish government don't want it. Stormont doesn't want it. No one wants it. So that will never happen. And if it does happen, I'll quote former Northern Ireland civil rights activist, Eamon McCann, who's a central figure in the People Before Profit Party in Northern Ireland. He basically said that if you put border infrastructure on the border, people will shoot at it. And that is not a euphemism. That is, people will literally shoot at it, and they will bomb it. And so that indicates also a risk that if there is a hard border on the island of Ireland, you will see paramilitarism will come back.
I think I'll let you get back to the rest of your evening, or else we'll talk for 3 hours. We could do three wires solely on this. But thank you so much, as always.
I've said all of that about the risks of Northern Ireland, but I do think it is a place of peace. You'll be absolutely fine there to visit. It's a fantastic place, and no one listening to this should be scared off. It is brilliant, and you'd be doing the people of Ulster a world of justice by going up there and seeing their wonderful sights and giving them a few of your tourism dollars, because they badly need it.